But anyway, we've come to the last message on Elisha, and it's going to be titled Faithful to the End. And if you'd like to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through to 21, and a blessed passage of Scripture. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that no matter what we have to face and go through, Lord, there'll be no dramas at the end for us. When you come, Lord, it will all be perfect. We thank you, Father, that what we do go through these days of our life on this earth, Lord, we do have a victory over them. Lord, we can be steadfast and faithful in the midst of trials. And Lord, your peace that you left for us, not as the world giveth, but Lord, your peace, even in the midst of hardships, can still be there for us. And we praise you for that. And Lord, as we come to your word now, Lord, just enliven our spirits by your spirit, Lord, that you would receive the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at Elisha, faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Wouldn't that be a lovely thing to put on your headstone? Faithful to the end. And we come to the close of his life. And it was a life that was long, and it was a life that was very useful in God's hands. And Elijah, he didn't have that whirlwind departure, no chariots of fire taking him into heaven. Elisha passed through what many of us may experience at the end, and that can be weakness and frailty. And the older we get, the more we understand that in our lives. You know, but what a peaceful deathbed it was for Elisha. He had made his choice. He didn't live for time. He lived for eternity. He lived under the fear of God, not the fear of man. Elisha didn't live for the rewards of kings, but for the glory and honor of his Creator. And when death came to Elisha, there was no fear. There was no terror for him, but a desire to give encouragement. But even as this was with him, just as Elijah had left behind a blessing to Elisha, Elisha wanted to do the same thing. In verse 14 of our text there, it says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." You know, may our lives be such a blessing to others that they're going to miss us when we are called away. When King Joash sees the prophet on his deathbed, he feels how great a loss this will be to Israel. And the king, he bends down over Elisha, and the tears fall upon the prophet's face, and King Joash cries out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Now these were the very words that Elisha cried out when Elijah was taken away in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. The very same words. And you know, and we need to be careful if we're going to use the words of others that we have a good spiritual understanding of what they were talking about. And Joash did not have that, but we see there Elisha wants to encourage the king and keep his heart up. He wants to teach the king that even though he dies, his God continues on. See, the workers pass away in this life, but the work of God continues. See, the true Christian is always looking beyond their own death, and they look to the glory of beyond this life that awaits them. You see, they look beyond the difficulties and the hardships they face. They look beyond that hour of darkness. They look beyond the delay to the ultimate and glorious triumph of the Church of Christ. And we see this truth as we read of those martyrs who have gone by and passed times, and even today we don't hear as much about the martyrs of today, but there are plenty in other countries suffering greatly for the cause of Christ. But they don't look on the day, they look on the future glory. You know, when Queen Mary wanted to restore Roman Catholicism back into England, there was a man named Bishop Latimer, and he rejected the Pope's authority. He rejected the doctrine of the Mass, and he, along with another friend, Bishop Ridley, who also rejected Roman Catholicism, were tried and convicted guilty of crimes against the Roman Church, and they were tied to a stake together. And as the wood was piled around them and set afire, Bishop Latimer said to his friend Ridley, he said, "Be of good cheer, Brother Ridley, and play the man. Play the man. Be strong, be courageous. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle in England as by God's grace shall never go out." And for many years it never did. It never went out. And we're called to play the man. Stand firm, no matter what. We may not have literal fires burning at us, but we still have to give an account to the Lord for our testimony in this world that we live in. And I've heard plenty of Christians say to me, "Oh, if they burnt me at the stake, I'd be fine." No, they wouldn't. The moment they struck the match, they'd be screaming and trying to get out of there. And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." Here's Elisha on his sickbed, the bed that's leading to his death. You could call it his deathbed. And he says to the king, he says, "Take a bow and arrow." And the king does. And Elisha puts his hands on the king's hands. And he prophesies as the arrow is released. He says, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." But we see that Joash was slow to learn the lesson of God's unlimited power and the necessity of the human effort, which this illustration teaches us so simply. It was God who parted the Red Sea, but he used the rod of Moses. It was God who used the jawbone of an ass in the hand of Samson to win a victory. When the Lord would feed 5,000, he used 5 loaves and 2 fishes, which belonged to a young boy. You see, the hand of the Lord must do it. And we've got to learn that without Christ, we can do nothing, John 15:5. It is God who gives the victory to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Psalm 2:11 reminds us, "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." What power do you need at the moment? In your struggles, in your times of difficulty. Man's power is not going to work. But if we are willing to put ourselves into the hand of God, allow God to use us the way he wants to use us, we'll come through. Speaking of Joseph in Genesis 49:24, it says, "But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob." You see, it's always the power of God, yet God chooses in his wisdom to use human instruments in his work. In verse 18, he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." and he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. See, Elisha has already told the king that he would smite Syria. He said, let the arrow go, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. He said they would be consumed. And to teach the king the necessity of patience and keeping on, he commands him, he says, you smite those arrows on the ground. Now, instead of waiting to be told to stop, he only hits the arrows three times. And that shows us that the king, it shows us his own want of faith in God. How little he deserved God working on his behalf. You know, verse 19, Elisha was wroth with him. He said, you should have smitten five or six times. And if you had, Syria would be ultimately consumed. But he says there, but now it's only going to happen three times. You know, God wants us to go on strong, Ephesians 6:10 tells us, in the power of his might. He wants us to believe in him that he will give us victory. Matthew 9:29 says, then touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, missionary William Carey, he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And this is what King Joash didn't do. He may have thought, well, three times is enough. He would have been content with that. And, you know, he's a picture to us of those who have little faith, although they have all the promises of God. And Joash stood beside the bedside of Elisha in despair. It's as though he had already been defeated. It's as if he's already saw the defeat of his country and nothing can be done about it. And like all other resources, were useless unless the man of God, who so many times had guided the king and the people to victory, is going to be taken away. But look at the encouragement that Elisha gives to him. Elisha's taken the king's thoughts off the wisdom of man, the strength of man, and turned them to the unlimited power and strength of God. He says, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And when Elisha gave Joash the opportunity to show his faith, Joash showed how little faith he really had in the promises of God. What he should have said, what he should have cried out was, yes, the Lord is on my side. Victory is sure. I'll double my efforts against the enemy, against the workers of evil. And out of great gratitude, I will serve the Lord and him alone shall I serve. That should have been his response. When he was given the opportunity by Elisha to show his faith, he showed just how little faith he really had. Now, if we believe that God's word is true, do we believe that? Yeah. Amen. If we believe it's true, if we believe his promises are true, do we believe those? Isn't it only reasonable that God should expect you and I to act and stand upon his word and his promises. Isn't that only reasonable? You know, to every unsaved soul, God says, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise there is, thy and thy house shall be saved. But you must apply it to be saved. You must believe. You must trust him as your Saviour. And there are many like Joash. They want to go to heaven, but they're not willing to do it God's way. They say, if I am saved, if I am to be saved, rather, I shall be saved. Now, to those who may be thinking about heaven and judgment, your heart may have been softened by a death, maybe, or a heartache, an illness. Put the unbelief away and take the Lord at his word and his promises. He cannot lie and he will not lie. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Take the step, fulfill the condition, believe. If you want the blessing of eternal life, believe. You don't have to worry, because the promise also comes knowing that you are sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of promise. God's not a lie. That's in the Bible. That's true. Salvation is eternal, not temporary. Don't let the devil tell you you can lose it. You can't. It's permanent. He takes up abode in your life, and whether he's a flame of fire in your life or just a tiny little pilot light, that responsibility belongs to you and me on what we feed the most. What we feed the most will grow the most. If we're going to feed the works of the flesh, the works of the flesh will grow. If we're going to feed the Spirit will grow. And this also applies to the Christian and their service to God. How many call themselves God's servant? How many expect to receive the reward of the fruitful servant's reward, but they do nothing for the Lord? Nothing. Now, Jesus has given every Christian a precious promise. Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But the promise is to those who in some way, seeking to be obedient and fulfill the command, which is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. You see, the promise depends on the work, and the work depends on the promise. And we just cannot expect God's blessings if we're not doing God's work. And we cannot do his work if we're not meditating and standing upon his word and his promises. And today, just as in Paul's day, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. And if we are doubting the power of the gospel, we are doubting its power in the face of an undeniable testimony and truth from the Lord himself. And the want of faith has a sickly effect on life and practice and Christian service. Remember John 6, 66 through to the end of the chapter there, many went part of the way with Jesus, and they turned back and walked with him no more because of a lack of faith. And not a lot has changed in our day. See, a lack of faith leads to low expectations, to weak efforts. But true faith in God's presence, true faith in God's power, stimulates us to press on and keep serving. And instead of being how would I put it, inactive and careless. You see, true faith in God's presence, see, that causes us to be patient under the trial, to be steadfast when the difficulties hit us. We're patient when the results aren't forthcoming. And many, many a good work has been given up, that the towel's been thrown in because people are not faithful to press on. But we have to understand, work for God never ever dies. And we see that in verse 20 and 21. And Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha. He revived and stood up on his feet. See, even though Elisha had died, God carried on his work. Never think God's work is going to collapse because he chooses to remove some of his servants that he has greatly used. God is still alive. God is eternal. The Holy Spirit is still at work today to carry on the Lord's work. He's your refuge. He's your strength. Don't look to anything else other than him to keep you. Trust him. And we've just sang, hasn't it? It is well with our soul. Look at the work of missions down through time. Has the gospel ever been defeated? No. Imagine if these men and women had thrown in the towel. Said, no, I want to take life easy for a while. What a lesson for first of all, for pastors, for missionaries, Sunday school teachers, the youth workers. Don't give up. Even when you see no results for your labor, you keep on keeping on. Don't give up in the battle with besetting sins. Don't give up on your spiritual life. Cultivate spiritual graces. Keep on praying for others. Never give up a soul as being hopeless. And the greatest need we have today is for people of prayer, those who will tarry long at the throne of God's grace, those who believe in the promises of God. We may not to be able to do too much, but in the hands of God, God can do what he needs to do. Every erring child, every godless friend, lay them before God. Get busy in fervent prayer. A brother or sister in Christ may be struggling. Lay them before God in prayer. Ask the Lord to open their eyes, to lay his hand upon them, to speak the only word they need to hear, that they may be made whole. Keep on in the Christian work. Leave no work unfinished for which God gives you the strength and the means to do. You see, there are many who start out with a big hullabaloo and a fuss, and they soon tire, and they leave it for others to pick up, if it doesn't die off, that is. It may well be we have been shooting too few arrows, brothers and sisters, making too little of an effort in God's work and cause. We need to seek the guidance of the Lord's hand and the power that comes with God's presence and press forward to the victories he has in store for us. Be a witness. Be a testimony for the Lord. Leave a legacy for someone to follow on and see the Lord at work. You know, people live for God. They spend a holy life for the Master. And then they're called away, and we wonder why. And people say, oh yes, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's one evidence that proves that to be true. And that's a holy life. The only evidence needed. And those people, when they're called away, their work has not ended. Mums and dads, did you get that? That's pretty quiet. Did you get it? Their work has not ended. Their influence goes on. It spreads and it increases because work done for God never dies. Amen. Be faithful unto the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for the simple word that we have looked at today. And Lord, we are thankful for the faithful people who have gone on before us. That their work has never died, Lord. Their testimonies ring true. And we pray for the young ones here today. That they look at their parents and see the faithfulness their parents are showing to the Lord and bringing them to the Lord's services, the Lord's works, and the kids' clubs and youth groups. That they recognize the Lord at work in their homes. And that they would honor their parents for that. And in doing so, realize they're honoring you. And that we as parents and grandparents set the example, give them something to live for, a life surrendered to Christ. And we stand upon your promises and upon your word that you are a faithful and true God and you lose no one who belongs to you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.